10.
You're listening to Northbound, presented by Big Time Hoops. For the North, by the North, Big Time. And now your hosts, Tom Bard and Steve Carmichael.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Northbound, the podcast. Tom Barr, joined by Steve Carmichael. And a lot's happened once again. But Steve, I want to tell you a quick story before we get things going here. So
last night,
after work, I went out to Buffalo Wild Wings with a couple of my buddies from work. And full disclaimer, I'm a grown man, so I can drink, right? So we're having a good time. We're drinking a little bit. The Duke Carolina game's on. I think Pierce Walston might have been there, but he was at a table with a bunch of young kids, and I didn't want to be that guy who was drinking and go over there and go talk to him and any of that stuff. So Pierce, if that was you, I wasn't ignoring you. I wanted to be the mature one in the room last night, so that's why I didn't go over there. But the reason why he was there is he had a Carolina jersey on. Carolina Duke was on TV, and I found myself watching it a little bit, but just not fully engaged. And then it dawned on me, in 1 year, we're going to have Cooper Flagg in that game. And so I'm looking forward to that. And Cooper had a big weekend. We were just talking a little bit before we went on the air. Go ahead and tell the folks that they don't know.
Well, Montbert Academy played the number one team in New Jersey. And the fans for a team that is not Montbert Academy thought it was a wise idea to try and call Cooper Flagg overrated. And he proceeded to drop, I think, 28. And how many rebounds did he have?
I don't know, but I saw the dunk. The dunk is what I took away from that one.
And the thing is Cooper took it. You talk about Michael Jordan in the Last Dance, right? The documentary says, I took that personally.
Yeah.
Clearly, Cooper took offense to the overrated chance and shut them up real quick.
I wouldn't recommend that for anybody moving forward. No. Just don't get him going. They don't get him going any more than what he already is, ladies and
gentlemen. Don't poke the bear.
Next year, Carolina fans, don't try to chant overrated when he's in Chapel Hill. Like I said, I was watching the Duke-Carolina game last night and really wasn't too intrigued. But then it dawned on me, we got Cooper in that game next year. So next year will be a different story.
And I heard Pierce was a big Carolina fan because he didn't play in the Prescott game when they were down in Orno. He was actually at the North Carolina-Boston College game. At least that's what I was told.
Okay. Maybe we'll have to follow up and find out if that's true or not. But
I'm
pretty sure it was him last night, and he had a Carolina blue jersey on. So I'm pretty sure it was him. I'm trying to connect all the dots. So once again, Pierce, my bad. I wasn't ignoring
you. He probably would have loved if you went over and chatted with him.
There was young kids at the table, and I hadn't had too much to drink, but I was in the middle of a nice big tall boy. And I didn't want to go over there under those circumstances. So.
Now, of course, there's a lot of beers on tap at Buffalo Wild Wings. Did you have a go-to?
I just grab a Blue Moon. I don't know. I like a good Blue Moon.
I'm an Allagash White guy, so it's close.
That's my other one. When I'm feeling fancy, I get the Allagash White. When I'm not feeling so fancy, just grab the Blue Moon. But
right,
a lot happened this past week, so we're just going to dive into it. And as I was telling you, big episode. We're going head to head with the starting five this week. Both episodes coming out same time Monday morning here. So we got.
They're off vacation.
Off vacation. I don't know what they've been. I told Taylor today when he sent me the episode, I said, thank you, Taylor. Me and Steve are tired of carrying the load right now. We're carrying this whole Big Time brand on our back right now. So it's nice you guys got back to work.
Right. Exactly.
I'm going to stick to college real quick to kind of kick things off. So tough loss today for our girl Mackenzie Holmes and the Indiana Hoosiers. They lost 74-69 to Ohio State, number 8 Ohio State on the road in a tough environment. But the reason why I want to bring Mac up right at the top is because not only is she the GOAT, in my opinion, she's amazing. She's the best player we've ever produced up to this point. But she's also chasing Indiana's all-time scoring record. So she had 14-9 today, but she's 45 away from becoming the women's program's all-time leading scorer. So, Mac, we're watching. I got the countdown graphic going for every game we're going into it from here on out. So folks know it's a huge accomplishment that you are about to set over there at Indiana. So we're watching. But like I said, tough loss by the Hoosiers today. Only their third loss on the year. They've got losses to Ohio State, who's number 8, Stanford, who's number 4, and Iowa's number 3. So some tough losses. And I realized today Sydney Parrish is out indefinitely with a foot injury. So hopefully she's back come tournament time, because I would love to see Mac make a nice little deep run here in her senior year.
Nice to see her get it at home, too. Her next two games are at home in Bloomington, Indiana. I've got Michigan State on February 8th, and then Purdue on February 11th. It'd be good to see her get it in the home court.
I think she can. She's averaging almost 20 a game right now. So right. There's no reason why she shouldn't be able to get that right. Coming up. And then we still got Iowa at the end of the regular season, too. She got a big one against Caitlin Clark again. So, folks, if you haven't been watching Mackenzie Holmes and the Hoosiers, show that girl some love. She is putting Maine on the map and has been doing so for a while. Back to the high school ranks here. 1,000 point club new member this week from Old Town, Sage Evans, got their 1,000 point against Herman. Old Town beat Herman 51-18 in that game. She got it on a free throw. But Steve, we've talked about her a lot. Anything else you want to add to Sage Evans, who Big East Player of the Year as a sophomore, has yep. Old Town at the top ever since then. So anything you want to say about Sage?
Sage has been just so steady, and she's always in the right spot at the right time. Her IQ level is off the chart. She's headed to Husson University next year to continue her basketball career. And just one of those players that never seems to do really anything wrong. She had great footwork, a terrific mid-range game, just knows where to be on the floor, and a great teammate as well for Coach Richards and the Old Town Coyotes. Congratulations to Sage Evans. She's one of my favorite players to follow through the course of her high school career, and glad to see her get to that 1,000-point mark.
Congratulations to her. And she is, I can go ahead and confirm it, a big-time hoops all-star again this year. So she'll be playing in the game once again. Another milestone this week, Coach Jody Grant from Dexter, win number 300. I didn't catch who it was against. I think it was Eastern Maine Sports is where I saw it from. They had put it up on Facebook, but win number 300, which is a huge, huge milestone. So, and you've talked about before about how big of a fan you are of Coach Grant and just how consistent he's been at Dexter.
Yeah, that he simply just knows how to win. And he, as I mentioned, he's perfected a style that, again, may not be aesthetically pleasing to every broadcast or every fan that pays money to go to the basketball game. But again, it doesn't matter. 300 wins. Now look here. Yeah, he got his win number 300. It says against, I believe, Piscataquis Community High School. It was on the road in Piscataquis. But Coach Jody Grant, yeah, well, just one of the best. Record, the results speak for themselves. Congratulations to him. He's been doing it for a long time. He doesn't appear to be slowing down. That Dexter program is just a powerhouse in the Class C ranks.
Currently sitting number two in Class C, though. I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm not going to say who's number one. We'll bring it up in a little bit.
I think we all know.
Nonetheless, congratulations to Coach Grant. Just want to shout out one player in particular who had a huge week. Huge, huge week. Mary Allen from Central. She went off for 40 points, 13 steals, 6 assists, 5 rebounds in a 67-33 win over Searsport. Followed that up with 37-8 in a 46-43 win over Class B Herman. So just an incredible week from Mary Allen. And you know what kind of numbers those are? Those are Izzy Allen numbers, which makes it kind of sad that we're not going to get a chance to see that. Izzy's been shut down for the year, so she can go to Maine healthy in the fall. So, but nonetheless, huge numbers from Mary Allen, who's only a sophomore.
Right. That's exactly what I was just about to say. Just a sophomore. Stat sheet stuffer, has the ability to get to the basket. That was what I was really impressed with last year, was as just a freshman going against some of these really talented teams like Dexter and Mattanoaka Academy and Penobscot Valley. She's got no fear going to the basket. And I think she's developed an outside shot now to complement that ability to slash. That's a huge week. Those are some crazy numbers.
Those are. And I can confirm that Mary Allen is going to be in the Rising Stars game for this year. So she played in the Rising Stars game last year as a freshman, coming back as a sophomore. And I'm going to just say the Rising Stars rosters are stacked. We got a couple great games. We're going to announce the full rosters a little bit later, but Mary Allen's going to be there.
All right. So do you have a date when you're going to announce it?
Rosters will probably be coming. You know, I don't really have a date yet. I don't really have a date. Usually we do it like the week of the quarterfinals when things are kind of quiet early on in the week. So probably like next week, actually. It's probably going to be in about a week or so. We're going to start dropping some of the names of these players that are in the games.
It's like his quarterfinals start February 16th.
So, yeah. So, it'll probably be 1 week from today, probably, is what I'm thinking. We're going to start releasing these rosters. So, be on the lookout for that. Then, finally, just info from the week. Quick little recap. Shout out to the Maine programs, who both got some big ones yesterday. Maine men beat Bryant 79-72 at home. That was only Bryant's second loss in the America East. So huge win for the Maine men, who improved to 3-5. They're tied for fifth in the America East, which you might say, hey, it's not a winning record, but hey, they are on the up and up.
Yes, they are.
So that's a huge win for them. Jaden Clayton had a career high 24 for the men. And then on the women's side, Olivia Rockwood had 24 on 8 3-pointers made for the women. 70-58 win over Bryant. They improved to 8-1. in the America East, tied for first with Albany. So, you know, they are right where they need to be, which is the top of the America East. And I just want to give a quick shout out to Coach Amy Vachon, who got her 4-year extension. She's going to be around for a little bit longer. Shout out to her, friend of the program, who's been on the podcast before.
Yep.
But she's just done amazing things with that program since she's taken over. Home State girls, so congratulations to her. And I just want to show love to a couple of the main girls on the program. Sarah Talon, a sophomore, getting 20 minutes a game this year as a sophomore. And her numbers have pretty much doubled across the board in terms of per game averages since last year's a freshman. So shout out to her. And JC Christopher also getting 16 minutes a game as a sophomore as well. So shout out to our main girls for not only being rotation players, but getting big minutes for that main women's program. I don't know if you want to chime in there at all, Steve, but shout out to our main girls.
I just love to see the homegrown talent staying in the state.
Yep.
Competing for a well-respected program. And yes, Amy Vachon, well-deserved for that contract extension. But I love seeing the homegrown talent getting recruited, and it's paying off dividends.
Yeah, and more on the way. Maddie Fitzpatrick heading there next year, too. Probably going to be Miss Basketball. And
Izzy Allen
heading there as well. So the pipeline is open. It's still
Maddie Provost got an offer.
Maddie Provost, Bailey Breen's got an offer. So yeah, there's no shortage of offers going around for our home state girls. All right, Steve, you ready to jump into the high school action here?
Let's do it.
All right. So I want to start with the Class A boys. So it's been, you know, we've on several podcasts so far with the Class B boys, it's been just the boys at the top beating up each other. That's kind of the week we had here in Class A. So a quick rundown of the standings where we stand right now on this Sunday as we record. Mount Blue, number one. Messalonskee's moved into number two. Hamden Academy sliding into number three. Nokomis, four. Camden Hills, five. But it's been an interesting week. So I'm going to start with the Camden Hill boys. They started the week off by beating number four, Nokomis, 60-44. Will Duke got a big game, 25, and Nolan Ames chipped in 15 for them. They follow that up by beating number one Mount Blue, 68-64. Will Duke had a massive game with 36 points. Nolan Ames once again chipping in with a big 21 for Camden Hills. So they beat the number four team in front of them. They beat the number one team in front of them. And then yesterday they played Hamden Academy, lost that one 59-47, which is interesting because I'm going to go ahead and break the injury news if folks don't know. Hamden's Zach McLaughlin dealing with a bit of a foot injury right now. He's been out the last two games. Spoke to him today. He's going to be sitting out the rest of the regular season in an attempt to get regular for the regular season. But just one of those weeks where these teams are kind of beating up on each other. Hamden beats Camden yesterday, but Hamden lost earlier in the week to Messalonskee, which snapped Hamden's 12-game winning streak. And they smashed Hamden in that game. That was a 72-39 game. With Merrick Smith getting 23 points, 16 rebounds, Ty Bernier chipping in with 22. So just a really weird week at the top where number one team goes down, number three team goes down, just all over the place. Steve, I don't know if you want to chime in at all here, but just, I don't know what to make of Class A now.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, because you would think with McLaughlin being out after Camden Hills just beat Mount Blue and then Messalonskee beat Hamden Academy by that differential, and then Hamden then beats Camden Hills. It's just, we've talked about it through our first seven episodes of Class A. It's hard to gauge any sort of real legitimate favorite. And now we approach the final week of the regular season. I don't think we're going to get any better of a, I don't think we're going to get more clear of a picture from the next week. Because Coney, you know, they play Messalonskee, Hamden Academy. We're sitting at 14-2. They got Mount Blue and Nokomis. But again, it's hard to gauge again because they don't have arguably their best player alongside JJ Wolfington. And Camden Hills, as I'm trying to pull up everybody's schedule here, they have Skowhegan left on their schedule, who's an eighth. It just doesn't seem like there's any favorite. It's going to be wild. Every game will be close. Quarterfinals are one to watch. Yep. Those 1-8, 2-7 games, wide open.
Yep.
It's just crazy. As you talked about it perfectly right there with all those results. I mean, case in point.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a little bit more of an interesting tournament than I thought going into it, especially earlier on in the season too. We thought that Hamden and Mount Blue kind of were pulling away early, and those are going to be the two teams to watch. You throw in an injury to Zach that kind of changes things. Does he come back healthy? Can he make it to the full tournament? So those are questions that are still remain to be answered. But It's gonna be an interesting tournament. And I Meslonsky throws out maybe the most dominant force in A North in Merrick Smith, who's having a huge year. So it's gonna be interesting to see how that all plays out.
They have won 8 of their last 9 games too.
Yeah, and they've beaten the teams at the top. So they are hot at the right time as we come down the final stretch here.
Beat Camden Hills on January 15th by 3. They beat Mount Blue by 18 in the next game. Beat Brewer by 6, Skowhegan by 2, Gardner by 19, and then beat up on Hamden Academy again. So yeah, Meslonsky right now is peaking at the right time.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. Let's drop down to Class B boys here. Just every week, it's just the drama that just keeps happening. Just don't know what to make of it. So big ones this week. We'll just rattle off the top 6, which is the teams haven't really changed. Their rankings have changed a little bit. So Old Town's still number 1. Ellsworth has slid into number 2. Rannakook now 3. Caribou 4. The defending state champs, Orno, at number 5. And Herman's still sliding into 6. But the big one from this week, Caribou knocks off Old Town 56-36 for only Old Town's second loss of the year. Steve, what can you tell us about the big Caribou win?
Well, I don't want to take anything away from Caribou, right? Big win, heel point-wise. They're playing great basketball at home. They won by 20, but you have to give all the context of the game. Okay, Grayson Tebow did not play.
Okay,
he's a starting point guard for Old Town, battling an ankle injury. Does that mean that Caribou wouldn't have won or yet? No, I don't want to insinuate that at all. But would the differential would have been a closer game? Yes. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. Now, all the credit still has to go to Caribou. From the tip, they were dominant. They controlled it. And they should have won the first game against Old Town on the road. So the Vikings sitting in the 4 spot right now, they still got to host Presque Isle on Wednesday coming up. That will be their regular season finale.
That should be an easy one.
Well, I'm looking at the 4-5 matchup right now. So let's say Caribou beats Presque Isle, which they should, right? They beat them in the first matchup in the regular season. They are a better team.
Yeah.
Better program, better
history, better home gym, better everything.
You're a Wildcat. Yes, I know. I graduated from Presque Isle High School, but Caribou at 13-4 have a better team. They should be favored. So let's just assume they win. Orno then plays Old Town. If Grayson Tebow does not play, we would expect Orno to beat Old Town. That would probably slide Caribou back to 5 and set up a Caribou Presque Isle prelim game. Which do people want to see? Not me. I don't. Because I don't want 2 county teams to beat up on each other and toss one out. I'd like to see Presque Isle jump up to 11 and take their chances at, Herman, who they've beaten this year already. Now you look at the top 4 teams, and then you're with Orno and Caribou, they're fighting for that prelim or the bye to the Cross Insurance Center. The top 4 teams get a bye. So then 5 through 12 play a prelim. Class B boys, I just wanted to make sure that we understand that, yes, is it an impressive win by Caribou? 100%. They are a very talented team that's well coached, deeper than probably any team in Class B, and the kids deserve all the credit in the world. Tristan Robbins, Kamen Sargent, Owen Corgan has been playing great basketball, Landon Belanger, Sam Hebert, Braden Breschett, Dawson St. Pierre, and I know I'm forgetting people, but that is just a very talented team that can beat anybody on any given night. I want to make sure they get their credit. That's all. So I'm not trying to, I don't want to make it seem like, oh, they only won because Tebow was out. So I'm trying to avoid.
It sounds like you don't want to give them their full credit because you're from rival school. You're from the rival school.
I do.
That's what it is. It's okay.
I do. But Old Town, Tebow is an important piece. He is their starting point guard. He's a smooth operator. He runs the offense. He's able to get the basketball on the inside to Mahaney and Byther. He is a terrific shooter from the perimeter. He's just a great floor general for Coach Garrett Libby, who, by the way, if I have a vote for Big East Coach of the Year, Garrett Libby, for the talent that he lost, coming back, sitting at the number 1 spot in Class B boys. Ellsworth, I don't think we need to speak more on them. We'll talk to someone on their roster here in a little bit. For the Rannakook boys, that's the team that we don't see at all.
Yep.
I reached out to Coach Travis Magnuson, who has done a terrific job with that program in Rannakook. And he told me that, they got some big wins this year. They beat Spruce Mountain in double overtime. Monmouth Academy was their first game, took them down by double figures. They trailed Mount Abram by 4 with 90 seconds to go. Ended up tying it up, going to overtime, and beat them 80-69. Keegan McClure in that game, 19 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. He's averaging 18 points. Brandon Chilton averaging 14, and Elijah Freeman averaging 13. A well-balanced offense, and he says their effort level is off the charts. And so Marinacook is a team I want to watch. They don't stream their home games, so it's can't really find any footage. Yeah. But beating a previously unbeaten Mount Abram team is very impressive. And they've had, you know, some real tough wins. So I really want to see them at the Cross Insurance Center. Right now they sit in a bye spot.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting this last week, last game of the season coming up here. And I just want to touch on one thing that you mentioned earlier on. Old Town closes out against Orno this week. That game's in the Pit at UMaine. So they moved it to a neutral location. They moved it to a neutral location because last year they couldn't accommodate enough fans to come to the game in Orno. They had to turn fans away. So both sides agreed to move it to the Pit to accommodate the demand for tickets. So that's going to be in the Pit on Tuesday to close up the regular season, two rivals going at it. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, and the rest of the prelims right now, it looks like Herman, Bucksport at 7-10, they picked up a big win. They defeated Herman 37-36. On Saturday, Foxcroft Academy, they're done. They won yesterday against Presque Isle in a big fourth quarter comeback. They finished the season 10-8. MDI, who beat Washington Academy. The Winslow Black Raiders, again, another KVAC team, 11-5 on the year. WA Presque Isle. And then Holton finishes their season against Fort Fairfield, who is worth a ton of points. So if Holton beats Fort Fairfield like they did the first time, they could jump. I don't know the exact mathematical formula of how Hugh points work, but they could jump Presque Isle. Okay. Never know until the final standings come out. So a lot to be determined.
I just want to touch on one game from the girls side and be Old Town girls beat Caribou 61-58. I believe that one was up in the county, right? Was that up in the county?
That was. That was crazy.
That's a close one, but how much do you attribute that to the travel up there for these teams from downstate to go play in the county? I'm guessing that takes its toll, and a lot of these games wind up being a little bit closer than they might be because of the drive you got to take to get up there. Do you take anything away from this game with it being as close as it was? Do you see Caribou maybe being closer to Old Town than we thought? Or do you think maybe it's just weary legs from the ride up there? What do you take away from that game?
I think Caribou is closer to Old Town than we thought.
Okay.
Depray is just phenomenal. And she knocked down a couple free throws to put them up by 2 with less than 10 seconds to go. And then Taylor Loring made a couple free throws on the other end to tie it up and ended up going overtime. And there was some big, I think Michaela Emerson hit a big 3 with under 10 seconds to go to put them up. And that's how they ended up winning the basketball game. So Caribou, yes, I think they are closer to Old Town than anyone else other than Ellsworth.
Yep.
So, but that's what I would take from it. I wouldn't, the bus ride. Yes. It makes sense. You know, the bus legs, they say first quarter, but by the time, you know, they get to the game, they warm up, they're running around, they're joking and laughing. I don't really attribute much to the bus legs.
Okay. Well, we know one team that Caribou's not close to, and that's Fort Kent, because my Fort Kent girls knocked off the Vikings this week. 62-55.
We're
up big at the half, up 17 at the half. I do got to point out that Depray did foul out, though, with 5 minutes to go in the fourth, so she missed the final stretch. But Lily Oliver, monster game, 31 points, 9 steals, 4 blocks. Lily Warrington finished with 16 points on 5 threes. And that put the Fort Kent girls in the number one in Class C. So shout out to my Warrior girls right there, peaking at the right time. Shout out to Jason Netto, who always likes to let me know when something good is happening with that program. So shout out to them. Just a huge, huge week. And they closed it out. They had another one yesterday. They beat Central the Rustic yesterday with Lily Oliver getting 22, 7 rebounds and 10 steals in that one in a 48-35 win over Central the Rustic. So Warriors are peaking at the right time, Steve.
I sent you Lily Oliver's numbers. You want to read them off?
Where are they? No, let me see. If you got them, go ahead and read them off. I don't know where you sent them. I'm so pumped up right now. I don't want to look for him.
22 points a game.
Yep.
5 boards.
Yep.
7 steals.
Yep.
Are her numbers. I mean, she has been excellent. And Coach Jason Netto messaged me and did confirm Just a junior.
Shooting. There we go. There we go. So we got more of it. She's going to climb up that scoring record right there.
Lily Wertingen. Yep. 40% shooter from three, as you mentioned, hit five threes the other day. So the Warriors, and they got other players too. Don't get me wrong. They got Hannah Lovely, Mia Vuzin, Emily Neto, Julia Sear, Madeline Philbrook. They're sitting at the top of the standings. They're looking pretty. Looking good, Tom.
I like it. I just want to shout out Lily Wertingen real quick and her late great father, Eric.
Yeah.
My guy, my college coach, someone I consider a really close friend, passed down the basketball genes, and you can see it in Lily, who's just doing great things for the Warriors. So shout out to the whole Wertingen family.
And I love to see it too, because last year with Larissa Daigle getting hurt in the quarterfinal game, who was such a terrific player, went down with a tough injury, come back this year and sit at the top of the standings. Round of applause for the Warriors.
It's going to be tough, though. I was taking a look at the remaining schedule for some of the other top teams and see here as we close it out. Dexter's only a couple points behind in the standings, but I think they have two more games to go. Fort Kent only has one. So as it sits right now, Fort Kent number one. Dexter number two, Manannan-Cook number three, PVHS number four, Hodgson number five. So I would have to guess that Dexter's probably going to jump them to get the number one seed here if they win out. But
what, they got two games left?
They got two games left, and they're only 3 points behind right now. Fort Kent's got one more game. They got Madawaska. It's not going to give them much points, but Dexter's got Orno and Foxcroft. So that 1-2 seed is going to come down to the on the last day, I think.
I think you are correct. The other news of note that I announced on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. I'm always going to call it Twitter.
We'll just go Twitter.
Yep. Ann Oliver out for the season.
Yep.
For Hodgson. That is a devastating loss for the Hawks, who are 14-4. They've concluded their season. When you lose a player that is that damn good, it is... it's just tough. And I feel so bad for Coach Day, and I'm hoping that she come back for her senior year and be the star that we know she is. And but very sad.
Looking ahead here, Steve, as we get ready to wrap up the regular season here, I just want to get your professional opinion as someone who's plugged in. My Warriors, do we want to finish number one or number two? Because right now, if we finish number one, we're looking at potentially PVHS in the semifinals. Or if we drop down to two, possibly playing Manannan-Cook in the second round. So which one is a better second round matchup? I think we want to stay away from Dexter because Mazie Peach is a nightmare matchup. I don't think we have anyone that can guard Mazie and just Dexter's overall depth. So I want to avoid Dexter in the semis. Who do I want to see in that semifinal round?
Just pick your poison.
Okay. Well, I want to feel good about this. Okay. I want to keep the good vibes going.
I'm not saying Fort Kent can't beat them, but it's going to be an absolute war no matter who you get. If it's Dexter, or if it's Manannan-Cook, if it's Penobscot Valley, I don't think it really doesn't matter. I wouldn't worry too much about that because all three of those teams have length, size, guards. It's tough matchup either way.
We'll have to wait and see. It's coming up. I can't wait. It's almost tournament time. It's almost time. We're almost there.
I know. I finished the draft of our, because I've got to cover 42 games in Bangor in some capacity. We get them all scheduled.
You're going to be a busy guy. I'm just going to be sitting back watching, and you're going to be busting your ass. You know,
I'll be in Bangor, and if I need a beer, I'll be texting you.
Let's do it. Hopefully we don't run into Pierce while we're out.
Yeah, right.
We'll see. I asked you earlier today, I said, do you want to talk about Class D at all or anyone in Class D? You said Katahdin boys. That's all you said. You didn't tell me why. You didn't give me any information besides Katahdin boys. They currently sit 15-2. Only losses are to the Forts. Fort Fairfield, which is the, and Fort Kent, which is, that's big time right there. They got one more game to go. They got Southern Aroostook. And as I looked at the standings, Class D, a little bit more competitive than we thought. Thought it might have been Central to Rustics for a three-peat, but Skank up there, Bangor Christian, and Katahdin. So why did you want to talk about Katahdin?
Well, I think we've talked a lot about Southern Aroostook, number one, back champions, rightfully so, chatting about them. In the preseason, I talked about Skank and the improvement that they've made with Coach Aaron Hutchins. Bangor Christian going to the tournament, being competitive, Easton being at the tournament. Nobody really chatted about Katahdin, their name, their school, players, coach. Nothing came up, even though I had Greedy Richie last year.
Yep.
Very talented player, put up some big numbers.
He had a 50 piece right at one point last
year. He did. Yep. But nobody really talked about Katahdin. I don't really get a chance to cover them. I live in Presque Isle, so the drive to Katahdin is about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes to cover them. And it's kind of just in that the middle of the I-95 getting to Bangor. And I don't really feel like traveling down that way because I got three kids to take care of. So I reached out to Coach Greg Bivinghouse, who is in his second season at the helm for the Katahdin Cougars. He coached this group at the third and fourth level. So he came back and he said it was just a good group to coach. It was very fun. He enjoyed it and he wanted to come back and he was excited about it. So they're 15-2 this year. They beat Stearns yesterday. It hasn't been added to the heel point standings yet. But their only losses to Fort Kent and Fort Fairfield, as you mentioned. Now they played them once and lost, and then they turned around, played them again. And so if you look at Fort Fairfield, it was 56-35 on December 27th. They lost to the Tigers, and then 51-45, a loss to Fort Kent. Now turn it around, January 23rd, they play Fort Fairfield the second time, 56-50. They take them down, and then they play Fort Kent on the road and beat them 64-55. So I just wanted to reach out to him and get some sort of feel for his roster and why it has been such an improvement for this season. So he gave me his five starters, which are Josiah Rogerson, Josh Martin, Connor Edwards, Sam Boone, and Calvin Richardson. He's got a great complement of players that I think make them a very competitive team. So you start with Rogerson, who's his only senior, and he is the scrappy defender, work ethic off the charts. He usually guards the opposing team's best player. Josh Martin, who's started the season averaging around 12 points per game, has started to score in the upper teens and even the low 20s. So he's starting to get better and better as the year goes on. Just a junior. Connor Edwards had 34 against Van Buren, and he's averaging around 20 points per game this year. He's a junior as well. Sam Boone, who is just an absolute athlete, a mid-range jump shooter, terrific ball handler. And then you get Calvin Richardson, who has made a huge leap forward this year in every aspect of his game as the point guard. Now he brings a couple players off the bench and Brighton Hartsgrove, who's a freshman, older sister Hunter, who's a
I know the Hartsgrove
name. Yeah, on the girls' side. And Chandler Smith, who's another junior coming off the bench. So he said he could really start seven different people. I mean, he said we're going seven deep, and we don't lose much. And then he said, we're not a very big team, but we like to get out and push the pace. We're, you know, they play an exciting brand of basketball, and that this is the best record to his knowledge. He said he went back and looked, and he thought that this was the best record for Katahdin. If they end up at 15-3 or 16-2, that this is the best record for Katahdin in the past 20 years. So
it's impressive. That's a program steeped in tradition right there.
Right. So I just wanted to give them their roses and the respect they deserved. And then another team that, you know, we talked about last week, I wanted to reach out to Dean Preston for Callis. He got stuck on guard duty this weekend, Brigadier General in the United States Army. So he's a pretty busy guy.
Yeah. Understandable.
So he sent me a email just about, I don't know, just before he came on, and said that he got caught up and that he would call me tomorrow. So hopefully next week we'll have some Callis Blue Devil love, because they sit at the top of the Class C standings. But Katahdin was just a team that I don't think a lot of people chatted about coming into the season, and they've kind of just flown under the radar. And I wanted to make sure we get some of their players some love.
There's another tournament that's going to be fun to watch. Yep. Maybe a little bit more fun than we thought going into, a little bit more deep than we thought too. So
for sure.
That'll be fun to do a little bit of Mr. Basketball talk here to kind of close things out before we bring on our guests to close out the episode. So I don't know how much time and effort you've put into your list, Steve, but let's hear what you got.
Well, there's, I think, six names that everybody hears a lot, or people that I talk to. There seems to be six unanimous names. Now, tell me if I'm missing anybody, because this is going off my memory.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Pierce Walston. Yep. Talked about him this episode. Evan Sterling, Ashton LeClerc from Gorham, Zach McLaughlin, Carter Galley, and Chance Mercier.
Yep.
Those are the six names that I've heard the most. Now, I would like to add one name because, once again, this is what I get so pissed off about when it comes
Ethan
to
Ethan Daigle.
If you want to, but another Roosie County kid, Dylan Burpee.
Yeah, that's true.
Give me a better resume as far as individual and team success than Dylan Burpee.
Yeah.
I don't understand why this is. Oh, no, he won back-to-back state championships. What? Why do we need to talk about him? He's from Aroostook County. No. He deserves to be in the, at least a semifinalist. I'm not saying he has to be a finalist, but you need to throw him in the conversation. I don't care if it's Class D. I need to get that off my chest. But do you have anybody that you want to add to the list?
Well, I think those are the names right there, but traditionally you look at the award and there's two things that usually factor into it, at least in my eyes. The two things that are usually consistent is someone who was a big name for 4 years and some sort of team success. So I feel like a state championship usually plays into it and 4 years of relevancy. So if I apply that formula, it's going to cut that list down to, I think, one or now two names, because you just made a very compelling argument with Dylan. Not to take away from any of the guys that are seniors this year, because it's a deeper class than I thought it was going to be, because a lot of the guys that should be there that wound up going to the prep route, I thought initially it was going to be more of a depleted senior class, but it's actually wound up being more deep and talented than I thought. But I think when you look at who's been a star for 4 years and who's had team success, I think Chance is clearly number one. But Dylan Burpee, you make a very interesting argument. He's got two state championships. His numbers are on par with anybody.
Yep.
So I think you got to put him in there as well. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say it right now after you brought it up. I think Dylan's going to be a finalist. I think Dylan's going to be a finalist in there with Chance Mercier. And if I had to pick a third, it's tough because I feel like everyone else's resume is kind of the same from there on out. I feel like a lot of these guys kind of came on the scene as juniors, had a big, like Pierce had a big junior year, won a state championship and been good as a senior. Same thing with the Galley brother twins, took them a little bit longer to get going. And Sterling and Evans too. So I don't know who the third finalist will be, but I'm gonna go ahead and say Chance. I'm gonna say Dylan and just pick a third to throw in there. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm on a rant right now.
You ran all you want. You're good. This is where I have the biggest issue with Mr. Maine basketball is there is a criteria. Let me read it off for you. It honors the top high school basketball player in the state of Maine. That's it. That's what it says. And then it's given to a senior player who best demonstrates basketball skills, makes significant impact on his team, shows leadership and respect for the game, and demonstrates good sportsmanship and citizenship both on and off the court. It is made by a 5-person committee composed of 3 media representatives and 2 retired coaches. Okay. So
that tells me nothing.
That tells me there's a lot of just, it's all subjective, right? It's all what you value as a fan, as a coach, as a media member. What do you value about particular players? Is it state championships? Okay. Is that the determining factor of how great or who you want to give the award to? Okay. Well, Dylan Burpee's won 2 state championships. Pierce Walson has a state championship over, but Carter Galley's numbers are just absolutely stupid.
Yeah.
So do you say, well, Carter Galley's numbers are so crazy and he's had team success. He hasn't won a state championship, but he's had a lot of success. Do I give it to Carter Galley? We don't know.
Yeah.
That's why I think this year it's so compelling, since I don't think there's a set. Yes, these are the 3 guys, no doubt in my mind. There's 6 or 7 that are all deserving.
Yeah. So I think Gatorade Player of the Year might be a little bit more of a toss-up, but I think just based on longevity, Chance has been doing it since a freshman. I think he's the favorite just based on that. And like I said, traditionally it's usually someone who's been there, been doing it for the longest, with some team success, but Chance doesn't have that state championship yet.
Nope. Now, with this group of seniors, you kind of the freshman year is hard since that was the COVID year.
Yeah.
There was no tournament. You say Chance, his first sophomore year went to the state final, lost to Falmouth. Junior year lost in the regional final to Orno.
Yeah.
This year they sit at number 2 in Class B and look like they're going to be competitive for another regional championship.
Yeah.
I just think Mr. Basketball this year is pretty crazy. And you mentioned, like Tegan Pelletier and, Landon Clark.
Landon Clark, Yusuf Takani from Lewiston. They should, that would have been your 3 right there, I think.
Right. But more than likely, but with them leaving,
now
you have guys that all are pretty close.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted just like what they do with the selection show. whoever selects the 68 teams and who gets put in the NCAA tournament, yep. somebody from the committee comes on.
An explanation, right?
And just answers it to make it a transparent process.
Yeah.
There is no transparency for Mr. or Miss Basketball. And I think everybody's on par with saying Maddie Fitzpatrick will be Miss Basketball.
Yeah.
Now, the Gatorade Player of the Year we talked about last week, maybe Bailey Breen with the season she's having, could be a little different. However, on the boys' side, nobody has ever come out and said, oh, well, we picked this person over this person. Like, it was, I think the... I want to say it was a COVID year. Sawyer Depre was a senior. You want to talk about team success?
Yeah.
And he wasn't a finalist.
Yeah.
And I was very vocal about how irritated that made me. Because I don't think there was even Parker Depre. You know, Griffin Jarrett wasn't even a semifinalist, and he had one of the best senior years and he carried his team to a 3 seed.
Yeah.
And he was unanimous Big East Player of the Year. And he wasn't even a semifinalist for Mr. Basketball. And there were 3 guys from the Big East as semifinalists, and one wasn't Griffin. So how does this make sense?
Yeah.
So that's where I just want, I wish somebody would come out and say, we chose like Will Davies over whomever like last year because of A, B, and C. Okay. Then I'm fine.
Yeah.
That's what I want, Tom.
Reform. We want reform.
I want transparency.
Some transparency too. That'd be nice. Yeah. But listen, we're going to bring somebody on who we just brought up. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, special guest to close up the episode. We'll be right back. All right. I just teased it. We're here with a special guest to close out the episode. It's a kid from Ellsworth named Chance. Chance Mercier joining the podcast. Chance, what's going on, man?
Oh, not much. How are you guys?
Good, good. I'm going to go ahead and make an announcement real quick because I talked to you about this earlier. I've been kind of letting the cat out of the bag a little bit in terms of All-Star Weekend, what we got for players and stuff like that. Chance is going to be a captain in this year's All-Star game, and it's a big deal. Congratulations to you. But my boy Brady King pointed out something. You're our only ever three-time big-time hoops All-Star. You're the first ever three-time All-Star, so congratulations to you.
Thank you.
But I know you got more important things to worry about right now because you're getting ready to close out the regular season. So just how are you feeling ahead to get to the last week of the season right now?
Personally, I'm feeling good. I know the team's feeling good. We feel like we got hot at the right time. So we're going to try to continue that through the playoffs and win a first state championship for like since like 60 years.
Listen, I don't know if you knew this, but my co-host here is the president of the Chance Mercier fan club. So I don't know how many questions he's got lined up for you tonight. I don't know how much thought he's put into it, but Steve, any questions for the, for your fan club here?
Chance knew that. He knows that. If you talk about getting hot at the right time, they have, of course, they won 4 in a row before the loss to Herman, and now they've won 4 in a row once again. So you're talking they've won 8 of their last 9. Where do you think you stack up, I guess, in the Class B ranks against, you know, some of the teams like Old Town, which you played twice this year, you split on the year, Caribou you beat twice, Orno you split with. How do you think you guys compare?
I think we compare as one of the top teams. Obviously, Orno, Old Town, Caribou, and Herman is pretty sneaky. You know, it's very wide range of who can win the North in Class B. So, you know, we just got to play our game and hopefully get there.
Do you have any film or information on Maranica? Because they're kind of that team that's sitting in the middle of everybody.
Yeah, we played them. We had this, like, summer ball tournament down in Bucksport, and we played them twice there. And we had some pretty good games against them.
I want to talk about. Oh, sorry. I go before you hop in, Tom. I want to talk. Just
go ahead.
Talk about the Ellsworth team. Yes, your name comes up first, right? When you talk about Ellsworth. However, you got some dogs with you out there. I mean, one in particular I want to talk about is Hollis Grindle. His improvement this year, I think, has been remarkable, and he has been such a key for your continued success.
Yeah, I know. I'll start with Hollis first, but you know, his work ethic is unmatched. You know, I remember him a couple times a week in the summer. He came in and shot with me, and he's been lifting a lot as well. And he just in practice, he's a dog. He works hard. He wants more minutes. And he's gonna do everything to help the team win. But he's been amazing lately. You know, he gets his points, he gets his rebounds, he gets his assists. He does the little things. He sets the perfect screens. He guards pretty much the team's biggest player. He's just been everywhere for us.
You got, you know, Josiah James Chin and Braden King and Kyle Kenny and Connors and I'm forgetting got Miles Palmer, right?
Yep.
He's doing some trash talking, getting in someone's face, you know, hitting a big shot. So you've got just a lot of guys that compliment you.
Yeah, I know. We'll start with Miles first. You know, his energy is unmatched. You know, he's the one that like talks to us before and after games. You know, he gets us going. And then our other captain, Caleb Connors, the other senior, you know, he's really, really mature for his age, and he makes sure our heads are set on straight. And then Josiah has been a big spark off the bench. You know, he can pass the ball like no other. And then obviously his energy as well. And then Braden King, he has stepped up very well as well with his scoring ability and his defense. And then Kyle Kenny, you know, when he dunks the ball, we all get pumped up. And he's been really good on defense and finishing around the rim really well.
Hey, this has been a very strange season where you guys are all beating up on each other. We try to make sense of it every week, who's the favorite. But then whenever we think someone's the favorite, they go down that week. Like, it's really just been you guys taking turns, taking blows at each other. What's it been like for you guys in terms of just trying to maintain a positive attitude where big win one game, then maybe a tough loss like the Herman one a couple weeks ago? How's it been just trying to stay focused and keep your eyes on the big picture, even though there's been a lot of ups and downs in terms of you guys just beating each other up this season?
It's been good. You know, obviously our goal is to win every single game we play, but you know, when you lose, you can't get too caught up. You need to go back, look what we did wrong, and adjust and learn from it. And then big wins obviously give us a lot of momentum and feels like we're getting hot at the right time. And we should keep our eyes on the big picture, like you said.
I know you and Pierce are boys. He's got a big one to close out the regular season. Old Town, they're playing in the Pit. Are you going to get up there and check that one out? Or are you just going
to
be watching?
I think I'm definitely going to go to that one.
So on the same topic of Pierce, when do you guys stop communicating with playoffs right around the corner? Do you guys just like stop talking once the playoffs start and try not to get in each other's heads? Or how's that work once playoffs start?
No, it's not that deep. You know, we always text each other, good game. You know, on the court, we know we're going to battle each other. But after the court, whoever wins, whoever loses, you know, it's okay in the end.
You guys have had a lot of big road games. I'm sure a lot of these other teams get up for whenever you guys come into town just because of the success you guys have had the last couple of years being at the top of Class B. What's been the most hostile environment so far for you this season?
Hostile environment, probably say Old Town. You know, that one was pretty hostile environment.
The crowd looked crazy. I mean, even like the Orno games, like all the footage I've seen from the crowds, Ellsworth, I know it can get rowdy too. So just a bunch of crazy environments.
Yeah, for sure.
Steve, you want to jump back in?
Now, looking at the course of your career, freshman year was the COVID year. So everything was, you know, regional. Then you go to a state game as a sophomore, losing the regional final last year. Do you have a favorite, like just a memory of through your first almost, you know, almost done your career, but do you have a favorite game or two that you look back on?
Yeah, I have two. My favorite game was probably winning Northern Maine's my sophomore year with Hunter Curtis, Gage Hardy, my brother and all of them. You know, that was a great memory. And then probably my 1,000 point night was pretty nice as well. My teammates, you know, all came up to me and talked to me a lot and stuff like that. But those probably two games.
Now, can you reveal any sort of what your plans are after high school? I know I asked you that when you were in Presque Isle, but I didn't know if that was something you wanted to talk about here.
Still undecided.
Still undecided.
Yeah.
When the time's right, you let me know. We'll make something big happen with Big Time. Big Time was the college announcement destination for all you guys. So I'm also a little disappointed you didn't say the Big Time Hoops All-Star game was one of the games you look back on most.
Oh, yeah.
So I might have to take away your captain and find it for someone else. But we'll get you out here on a couple more on the topic here, because I know you're focused on a state championship run here, but Big Time Hoops All-Star weekend is a good time. You're going to be a captain. I'm not going to tell you who the other captain is yet, but any idea as the captain who you're going to make as your first pick when we have the draft here in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, probably my teammate Pierce would probably be my first pick.
There we go.
Captain. And then I have a couple others, but I can't say because the other captain may take them. So
he can't reel too much of the roster.
No, I'm not going to say anymore. I've been tight-lipped. I've made a couple announcements on this episode, but more to come in the following weeks. But Steve, you got anything else for our boy Chance before we get up out of here?
I'm good, man. He knows, you know, I'm rooting for him. He's my Mr. Basketball pick. He's my pick to win an order state championship.
That's the hope.
Who's your Mr. Basketball pick, Chance?
I'd have to go with Zach.
Okay. Good choice. Yeah, we were trying to narrow it down. Like, we feel like the list is like six deep at least.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a lot of top players in Maine right now.
We actually added a seventh because Steve made a good point, and I think he's been a teammate of yours on the AAU circuit as well. Dylan Burpee. Not getting any love when it comes to the top seniors, but someone who's been doing it big for a long time and deserves to be in that conversation. Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But Chance, anything you want to say before we get up out of here? Dan, you want to say best of luck to the rest of the teams out there? Do you want to say this is ours? I'm coming for it. Anything? Do you want to get some bulletin board material up there for the other teams?
No, I'm not that cocky, but just good luck to everyone. You know, thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
No problem. And we're going to do this again in a couple of weeks for the Big Time Hoops All-Star Game Draft, which will be coming up soon. So something to look forward to once the season gets done. Steve, you got anything before we get up out of here?
I only got two games this week. I got the Caribou Prescott doubleheaders. Girls on Tuesday, boys on Wednesday, and then prelims the following week on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then I'm down in Bangor on Thursday, February 15th for the next 11 days.
There we go. It's right around the corner.
Right.
That's going to do it for this week's episode of Northbound. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Chance for coming through and making some time for us. And make sure you tune in next week for another big episode of Northbound. And listen, after you listen to this podcast, listen to it again and again, because we're head-to-head with the Starting Five podcast this week. I want bigger numbers than those guys. So listen to this episode over and over again. Chance, you spread the word. Tell everyone to go get this episode and check it out whenever we get up out of here so we get big numbers and we beat the Starting Five. But that's it for this week's episode. We'll see you next week.